Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. If I were to give this sermon a title, it could be, "Why Didn't You Hurry, Jesus?" You loved Lazarus. You loved Mary and Martha. Why didn't you hurry, Jesus? You loved spending time with them, eating, laughing, and talking with them. With them, you could be yourself, Jesus. They loved you, and they knew you like best friends do. So why didn't you hurry, Jesus, when they needed you? The answer you gave your disciples, it was beautiful. It sounded bigger than a teaching moment. Something beyond was unfolding. But Martha and Mary didn't hear what you said to your disciples. Instead, their brother died. And for at least 4 days, they suffered the pain of loss and grief. So why didn't you hurry, Jesus, and heal Lazarus? And why don't you hurry now and answer all the prayers we are praying? The Pope is praying. Our church leaders are praying. People all over the world are praying. People are recording their prayers on Facebook and Instagram. Twitters go out, and here we are, live streaming like churches all over. People are writing poetry and reflections. Feelings and thoughts are being shared about how hard this is. How hard this is to stay home to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But that is what is asked of us, and it is very hard. We can get disturbed in our spirits and deeply moved. Those are the words the gospel recorded about you, Jesus. When you arrived, your close friend was now in the tomb. People were crying, and Mary and Martha questioned you in the midst of their grief and yours. The tears flowed. You were disturbed. You were shook. But Jesus, you know you could have prevented his death. But something beyond our understanding was the gift you wanted to give. So you prayed out loud and in front of everyone. You commanded your dead friend to rise from the dead. It was real. We just heard what you did that day. But what shall we do with this story? Yes, the power is in it for us to embrace. And the answer to the question then and now is, Jesus is real and has the power to give life even in the midst of death. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, a ripple effect began. People believed that Jesus truly was who he said he was, the resurrection and the life. Jesus is with us and he never left us. In fact, he has hurried and he is here. Jesus is praying, live streaming, writing, calling, serving, and posting through us. Jesus is greatly disturbed and deeply moved with us. Jesus has not left the side of anyone who was suffering or dying this day. When Jesus ascended from this world, he said, "I will be with you always." And like last Sunday, this is another story about time, a story about the before and after of Lazarus, and for us, the before and after of the coronavirus. Grace and the power of God is right in the middle of this. Mary and Martha asked Jesus to come into the middle when Lazarus was ill. We are in the middle of this pandemic. We are like Mary and Martha. We are in grief and we wonder when Jesus will come. We are in between the before and after. We are suffering loss because what was normal is gone. We fear the economic toll that is affecting us all. And we especially grieve the loss of connection, of hugs and handshakes. So in this middle, we suffer grief and its stages. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and David Kessler co-wrote a seminal book that has opened up the experience of grief. It is entitled On Grief and Grieving, Finding the Meaning of Grief Through the Five Stages of Loss. And that is what we are going through. And our feelings do not match a linear ladder. They are up and down. And so sometimes all we can say is, it is very hard. But the stages of grief can help us name and move through our feelings. A stage like denial. The virus won't affect me. Another stage is anger. Angry that I have to stay home and can't go to the beach or do activities like I used to or go into work or into a restaurant or into a friend's home. Another stage is bargaining. Okay, I will practice social distancing for 2 weeks and then it will be normal, okay, right? Sadness is a stage. We are very sad because we don't know when the coronavirus will end, when staying home will end, that people we know are suffering will end their suffering. So the fifth stage, acceptance. That stage has power. Acceptance. We believe it is happening. The virus is here. But we decide to go forward to make the choices we can make to live. I was talking to a friend the other day, and her brother has had throat cancer. Every 6 months, he goes to the doctor. Every 6 months, he waits while the doctor looks into his mouth and down his throat. While the doctor is examining him, he waits in fear that the doctor will say the cancer is back and that he will die. Well, the last time he went for his checkup, he told the doctor his fear. And the doctor replied, "You will die someday, but not today." Choose to live as you can and embrace a new stage after the five stages of grief. And that new stage is to find meaning. Find meaning in the life you do have. And live your one precious life in the life of God you have been given. Breathe. Look around you. Notice where you live. Take a walk. Chew your food more slowly. Bake. Make a card. Call someone. Bless someone. Give life and life will come back to you. Feel what you feel and keep going. We are in a spiritual school, my friends, and your life, our lives, have a purpose. But we can still ask the question, Jesus, why didn't you hurry? And the answer is Jesus did hurry. And he is right here, and new life is possible and available. Jesus is the resurrection and the life and can transform what we are going through. Pay attention. Listen carefully. Because the presence of God, the presence of angels quietly speaks within you and leads us forward through grief to find new meaning and purpose. And maybe your purpose can be to practice a random act of kindness and pray. Amen.